This is Jim Inkster. Joining us today on Talk Louisiana will be Brian Moscona, president of Cristo Rey Baton Rouge Franciscan High School, the first Catholic high school to open in the city in decades, and Monique Scott Spaulding, corporate sponsor of Cristo Rey, will also be on hand. The school is an underwriter for WRKF. It is a private college prep school for low to middle-income families, and it flooded 4 days into its launch year. Quite a story that Brian Moscona and Monique Scott Spaulding will detail in their visit with us. Also, former State House member Melissa Flournoy, head of Louisiana Progress, and LSU Shreveport political scientist Jeff Sadow, columnist for The Advocate, will assess the fates of Governor John Bel Edwards, who faces a special session next week relating to the budget, and President Trump, who's now facing charges of paying hush money to a porn star. Now the news on WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number wherever you are. In Baton Rouge, you can dial 297-5633. You can send an email if you so choose to talk at talklouisiana.org. Ali Baltazar is producing, and we begin with Brian Moscona. He is the president of Cristo Rey Franciscan High School here in Baton Rouge, the first college, or first, it's a college prep school, but the first high school, Catholic high school in the city in decades. And Brian, it's good to see you.
You too, Jim. Thank you so much for having me.
And prior to this, you were the head honcho at Our Lady of Mercy.
Correct. I was very blessed to serve as the principal at Mercy for 5 years, and then Cristo Rey came calling, and it was an opportunity I couldn't pass up to be part of this great mission.
And Cristo Rey is an underwriter for WRKF, and this school is a private college prep school for low to middle income families. What does that mean?
Well, Cristo Rey is seeking to provide students who otherwise could not afford it with a quality college prep private school education. And the way we do that is by partnering with the business community. So being a part of WRKF is very important to us because the business community really provides a substantial amount of funding for these students to have this opportunity.
And more than half of your sustenance funding comes from corporations, right?
That is correct. So 57% of the students' tuition comes from the business community, and the students work actually 5 days a month to pay their way through school. So they're really developing a great work ethic. They're getting mentored by some of the most, I think, gifted leaders and business members in this community. And we're very fortunate to have so many great underwriters for our operation. And we're looking for more as we grow.
The school flooded 4 days. 4 days into its launch year of the fall of 2016, that had to be quite an adventure.
Absolutely. So we opened our doors to our first freshman class after 2 years of planning. And then, as you said, 4 days later, the great flood hit. And we were leasing the Redemptorist High School property in North Baton Rouge, where a large majority of our students come from. And we had 4 feet of water go throughout our campus, and the estimation was about $3 million of damage. So we've been displaced for the past 18 months. We've been very fortunate to be at the Boncure Business Center. Baton Rouge Area Foundation and Commercial Property Realty Trust found a space for us there. So we were up and running about 2 weeks after the flood. And so our student body has been very patient. They've persevered. And now we are finally, as of today, today's our first day with classes back at our home site. We worked with FEMA, and we have a temporary facility there, about 40,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. And so we now have enough space for our full school to operate back at the Redemptorist High School site.
So today, Valentine's Day, you're back at the Redemptorist site.
Correct. We have a lot of people wearing red and pink, and it's a very happy celebratory day for our students and our faculty who are finally back home.
How does it look?
It's beautiful. We were there on Friday for a community celebration of ribbon cutting. It is a beautiful, brand new modular campus. Some people might call those temporary buildings or T buildings, but we have, you know, we have 20 classrooms, a huge cafeteria, student activity space, administration and work offices. It's really beautiful. Obviously, we have a very historic football field right there, so we have outdoor mm-hmm. space for the kids for athletics and PE and recreation. So we have a beautiful school, and for those who haven't seen that kind of a build out before, it really is quite extraordinary what they can do in a short amount of time building a full school. So we feel like we could be there for a number of years while we build a permanent mm-hmm. structure to replace what we lost in the flood.
How many students right now?
As of today, we have 115 students, freshmen and sophomores. Those are 9th and 10th graders, and we'll continue to add 9th graders each year. So by year 4, we'll be grades 9 through 12.
So next year, you'll have 3 classes, and the following year, 4? Is that
correct? Okay. That's right, Jim.
So 115 right now. We're with Brian Moscona. He's the president of Cristo Rey Franciscan High School in Baton Rouge. And we're joined in studio by Monique Scott Spaulding, who is one of the corporate supporters for Cristo Rey. She owns Janie King, correct?
Correct. I am a Janie King franchise owner. Happy to be a board member of Cristo Rey.
How did you get involved in this?
So when I heard the concept, I was really excited to see just the thought of students being able to work with business partners in the community. When I was in high school, counselors had to offer this opportunity and negotiate this opportunity for us. But to be able to have that program widespread through the student population is a huge opportunity to kind of change the dynamic of education.
All right. This, I would imagine, Brian, you have a mixture of students, certainly demographically well represented, of people of all kinds.
Correct. So as of today, we have students from 20 different middle schools and 17 different zip codes. Our school, which is a lot of different areas of Baton Rouge, and we do provide bus transportation to and from school. Right. So students anywhere, and they don't actually have to be residing in East Baton Rouge Parish. So we have some coming from across the river, and like I said, we provide bus transportation. We are a Catholic school, but we welcome students of all faiths. Right. We have 92% of our students are non-Catholic. So, you know, we are obviously a faith-based school, but we welcome students of all faiths.
92% are non-Catholic.
Correct.
In a city that's over 30% Catholic. So, yeah, that's interesting. And that brings a question from Jason in Mid-City asking, do you have nuns and priests teaching there?
That is a great question. So we don't have nuns or priests teaching there, but our school is sponsored by the Franciscan Missionaries of Our Lady, the FMOL Sisters. Many people know them from Our Lady of the Lake in the hospital ministry. And so the Franciscan Sisters are wonderful. They're very involved in our school. They're on our board. They have provided a lot in terms of campus ministry and formation for our teachers and for our students. So we have a religious presence there regularly because the sisters are very involved. But they're not formally teaching in the classroom.
Uh-huh. There are 32 Cristo Reys around the country, right?
Correct.
And these are usually in big cities like New York. So how does Baton Rouge compare with the other cities that have these kinds of schools?
Well, that is a very good point. So Cristo Rey is in 32 different places, Houston, Dallas, Atlanta, as you mentioned, New York. So I think that they were kind of branching out when they decided to come to Baton Rouge. But I think that they saw that, first of all, the business community here in Baton Rouge is very committed to this concept. As Monique mentioned, that is just a really big part of it, that the business community gets that this is important and an amazing opportunity. They also saw that the Franciscan Sisters were very committed to this. And those are two key components, as well as the demand from students. So I think Baton Rouge so far has done a great job, especially when you consider that we are flooded 4 days after. So we're resilient. Obviously, we're back on our feet. And so I think so far Baton Rouge is stacking up quite well.
Of the 32 cities, Baton Rouge is probably the smallest.
Correct. We are the smallest market in which Cristo Rey has started a school. And one of the reasons for that, too, is many people are familiar with New Schools for Baton Rouge, and they have done a great job of advocating for Baton Rouge throughout the country to bring quality school models here. And Cristo Rey is one of those. Cristo Rey is a proven model, very successful. It's been in existence for 21 years. And so New Schools for Baton Rouge, Chris Meyer, really wanted a Cristo Rey school here. And so they made the case, they had the support, and then they chose to come to Baton Rouge.
So as a mid-sized market, we have the opportunity to expand the corporate work study program to nonprofit structures. In the larger markets, it's, you know, predominantly or solely even, you know, the Fortune 500 companies or larger companies in the area. But Baton Rouge has a little bit of a unique dynamic where we can expand to the nonprofit market as well.
And it's the only Cristo Rey school in Louisiana, so that is significant. One of the you mentioned some other big southern cities, but I would imagine in this particular region it's one of the few. But you're off to a good start despite the obstacles, and I guess you have a new campus as a result of the flooding. This is actually worked out to be okay.
I think so. You know, obviously it was a very difficult 18 months, but we have worked with FEMA. We've worked with the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. And, you know, Monique's been out there. We have a beautiful facility now. And I think when we welcome prospective students and parents and guardians to the campus, I think they're going to see a wonderful environment for the students. As I mentioned, we have a lot of green space. We have windows. We have space to spread out to maximize student learning. And then with this corporate work study program, you need to have enough space as well for the training program to make sure students are ready to go into the business community.
Well, how does that work, the corporate work study program?
Sure. So when we partner with a business, if a business decides to take on an FTE or full-time employee, it essentially is shared by four students. So, you know, let's take someone like Keene Miller, okay, law firm, decides to partner with us. We have four students who are going to work at Keene Miller. One student will be there every Monday. So they'll get the same student every Monday. A different student goes on Tuesdays, a different student on Wednesdays, different student on Thursdays, and then Fridays rotate. So that company, that organization will get to know four students that they're employing, and they will come to Cristo Rey in the morning. We'll make sure they're looking sharp. We give them a bag lunch. We give them sort of a pep talk, maybe a focus area for the week, whether that's eye contact or handshakes or asking, once you finish your work, is there anything else that I could do to help out? And so we give them a lot of coaching so they're ready to succeed in the professional workplace. And then we put them on our shuttles. We bring them to the workplace, drop them off, and they're there from about 8:30 to 4:30. Then we pick them up at the end of the day and bring them back to school. So for our students, they're committing to a longer day at work and then also at school. And because that they miss essentially five school days during the month, they have extra classes that they have to take and work in student days on campus they have to make up.
Your number is 877-217-5757. We'll spend a few more minutes with Brian Moscona, the president of Cristo Rey Franciscan High School in Baton Rouge, and also Monique Scott Spaulding, who heads Jenny King, and she is one of the corporate sponsors for this new school, and we'll talk more with them. And then it's Melissa Flournoy and Jeff Sadow after this timeout. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and a few more minutes with Brian Moscona, the president of Cristo Rey Franciscan High School in Baton Rouge, a school that survives largely through corporate support. And one of the supporters from Jenny King is Monique Scott Spaulding. She also is in studio. And 115 students currently are at the new location, the new old location, which is the old Redemptorist High School that Cristo Rey is now inhabiting, the first Catholic high school to open in this city in decades. And this is a case where the students are actually working for their tuition. So you mentioned the corporate work study program. These kids they're learning a lot about the real world while they're in high school.
It's really laying a wonderful foundation for the rest of their lives. As you said, they're working to put themselves through school, and they're mentored by incredible adults who are trying to give them a great trajectory in their lives. And so the environments in which they're working, some of the best businesses in our city who have opened their arms, opened their doors to welcome our students. And so our students are there 5 days a month working, contributing, adding value to the organization, and then also discerning what they want to do in life. You know, they're getting to work at law firms. They're getting to work at banks. They're getting to work in hospitals. And so there's some real, I think, great exposure to a variety of professional professions where our students maybe are getting a leg up when they go to college. They'll know what they want to do and maybe what they don't want to do.
And Monique, you certainly are involved in a big way. You have these students coming to work with you on a regular basis.
So in the corporate work study program, which is the essential component of the value of Cristo Rey outside of our Catholic education, it's a wonderful opportunity to mentor the students. Workforce development is a key topic among business leaders, and so this program offers 4 years of training and mentoring and coaching so students understand their importance in entry-level roles in our company.
Well, if a person is listening and has an interest in perhaps having a child go to the school or perhaps being a corporate sponsor, what's the best way to reach you?
You could find a lot of information about our school on our website, CristoReyBR.org, CristoReyBR.org. You can also call 615-7479.
Okay. And email Carissa Graves at cgraves@CristoRey.org.
cgraves@CristoRey.org.
I'm sorry, CristoReyBR.
BR. Okay.
Yes.
cgraves@CristoReyBR. freshmanclass.org.
Thank
After
you.
All, it is one of 32 locations across the country, but it's a good concept, and sounds like you're off to a great start. Congratulations.
Thank you, Jim. We appreciate your support.
Good to see you. We'll
you
talk
too.
Again soon.
Thank you.
And we switch gears now, and we're joined by Melissa Flournoy, the former state lawmaker who heads Louisiana Progress on the left side of the political spectrum, and Jeff Sadow, the professor of political science at LSU Shreveport and a columnist for The Advocate. And they're here to talk about matters near and far. And there is a special session of the legislature beginning on Monday, and Governor John Bel Edwards is trying to get lawmakers to come to some sort of consensus on a budget plan that will avert the fiscal cliff, which will happen June 30th unless something happens. And Jeff Sadow, what's your take on the options the governor has at his disposal right now?
Well, I don't think he has very many, given the attitudes of particularly the House Republican leadership. Probably I think what's going to happen is just be some kind of temporary extension of the sales tax, probably not nearly at the rate it's at, but at some lower rate, and that'll be that. I don't really see that he can get very much of that at all.
Is this kicking the can down the road?
In a sense it is, but at the same time, you can look at it this way, especially if you are on the Republican side. Edwards is not going to cooperate with the Republicans in the plans that they have for state government, and so the best thing to do is, extend it maybe a couple of years, and maybe he's not going to be around in a couple of years, and then you've got a guy you can work with and get things done the way you want them done.
877-217-5757. Melissa Flournoy, your thoughts about where the governor is with the legislature, with a special session beginning Monday, and the budget still in flux as far as which way to go.
Well, happy Valentine's Day, Jeff and Jim. It's great to be with y'all. I actually think that the governor probably should not have called a special session because I don't think the House leaders are ready to work with him. So, Jeff made a comment about how the governor doesn't want to work with the House leaders. I think it's cutting both ways. So I actually am concerned that they're not going to get anything done in the special session and we'll end up with another session at the end of the regular session like last year to try and cobble all this together. I just am really concerned about a lack of leadership in the House Republicans to deal with the mess that was created by Bobby Jindal, and an unwillingness to focus on the future for Louisiana. So this stalemate is bad, and it's bad for the future of Louisiana.
All right, well, Governor Jindal's been gone now for 25 months, but he's still getting the blame. It sounds like you're saying he's getting the blame for good reason, but others say, look, it's time to move on and quit pointing fingers at the former governor. What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I think that it's a type of sort of Washington-style politics and gridlock that was created by Bobby Jindal that's being perpetuated by Stephen Wagasback and Law B, which is just sort of a continuation of the Jindal mindset. And it's that Republican intractability and lack of willingness to solve any problems that's the carryover. So, I think that that we're really in a bad spot because we've got politicians in Washington and politicians in Louisiana that really don't want to solve problems. So it's very frustrating.
Jeff Sadow, is it appropriate to point fingers at the former governor? He did leave a budget quandary, but he hasn't been around for a while.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. When Edwards came into office, to compare his first budget to what was left over for him. Spending went up. I wouldn't say dramatically, but it went up. If you look at comparatively to other states, let's put them in three categories of kinds of expenditures. From the general fund of the 50 states, in that first cycle, Louisiana was 16th highest in terms of increase. In terms of all other state funds, it was 7th highest. And then, of course, in federal funds, it was the highest increase. That was, of course, because of Medicaid expansion. In fact, if you look at that first year and you just say spending had increased the rate of inflation, there'd be no fiscal cliff. So The problem is that there has been an increase in spending, and so, you know, you can point fingers all you want, but the reason the cliff is here is because spending kept going at an unsustainable rate given the preferences for the amount of revenue coming into state government, at least by the House Republicans.
The governor says he's cut the budget.
Well, you look at that laundry list, and, you know, there's you could argue, you know, there's a few cuts here and there that are genuine, but a lot of it is smoke and mirrors, you know, double counts, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, but, you know, again, the fact of the matter is in the last two budget cycles, the general fund, or all state funds, went up about 9%, and that's better than twice the rate of inflation. So.
All right. Well, Melissa Fornoy, does John Bel Edwards bear the brunt of responsibility for the fiscal cliff, as Professor Sato has hinted at?
No, I think we've just got some structural budget issues over the last 30 years. I remember when Buddy Romer was elected governor in 1987, and we had a, you know, billion-dollar hole, and he had to solve it with sales taxes in the recovery district. I feel like every 4 years we end up, you know, having this sort of crisis around state budget. We did the best under Mike Foster when we passed the Stelly plan and created a more predictable revenue stream, and I think one of the worst things we did was the chipping away of the Stelly compromise. We've had more task force and groups looking at the fiscal issues in Louisiana in the last 30 years than I can count. And I guess my big frustration is that we know how to fix these problems. We just don't have the political will to do it.
877-217-5757 is your number. Locally, 297-5633. When we return, we'll go to the phone lines with Professor Jeff Sadow of LSU Shreveport and Melissa Fornoy, former state representative, back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, 877-217-5757, and happy Valentine's Day to you. Saw former Representative Raymond Jetson at the gym this morning, celebrating his 62nd birthday today is Ray Jetson. 877-217-5757, Melissa Fornoy, who served in the Louisiana House, as did Representative Jetson, is with us. She's on the left side of the political spectrum, and on the right is Jeff Sadow, professor of political science at LSU Shreveport. Doug on Highland. Doug, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. You know, when Governor Edwards came in office, he was handed a $2 billion deficit or hole, budget hole, from the previous governor. And that's what they've been trying to deal with. And he has cut about $600 million in the two budgets that he has submitted. So basically, this hole that we were put in was something that didn't have to happen, but it was done in many cases deliberately. They knew what was happening, raiding trust funds to pay for something one time, ongoing series of tax cuts, and they kept cudging education and health care, but it still couldn't fill the hole. So when you look at Professor Sato, let the cat out of the bag. They're waiting, trying to gum things up for 2 years until the governor can, they hope, be defeated for reelection, and then they can do what they really want, which is to go after the poor people in Louisiana and punish them in a way that John Bel Edwards will not do, which is one of the reasons they resent him so much.
Your response. Thank you, Doug. Your response, Professor.
I question the whole premise behind that argument. We look at where we came from, and certainly there was some use of trust funds and the like and that's debatable, that tactic, because a lot of that money was just sitting there being unused. It only could be used for low priority purposes. So, you know, that's another argument. But, you know, Republicans are not, at least none of the Republicans I know in the legislature or anywhere else, they don't want to punish poor people. They just want to make sure that the state spends its money efficiently, spends it on priorities, ask that everyone pay their fair share into state government and the services that are being provided.
There's a political component to this on both sides, isn't there?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you know, Edwards could end whatever standoff there is very easily by moving his agenda towards the center. If he would go out and, you know, and Melissa's, you know, talked about non-cooperation coming from the Republicans, but it works both ways. And, you know, this could be solved very easily by Edwards doing that, or, of course, the reverse.
All right, Melissa, how do you see it? How do you see the budget situation, and who should move more, the Republican-dominated legislature or the governor of Louisiana?
Well, I actually would have liked the governor to have a public meeting with the leaders of the House and the Senate and talk about educate the public about what our fiscal issues are, where the money comes from, where it goes, and have the group kind of lay out a plan together. I'm just afraid we're going to have a stalemate in this special session because there isn't a level of, common facts and good strategy. I frankly think that people should pay their fair share.
All right, 877-217-5757, Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, you're on with Professor Sadow and Dr. Flournoy.
Good morning, y'all, and happy Valentine's Day. Yeah, I've lived here most of my life and basically been following the Baton Rouge politics or the way the state gets run. It seemed to me that the gas tax would be one of the fairest things to look at doing because that's kind of a progressive tax and the people who use it the most would pay the most.
All right. Well, thank you, Phil. What about a gas tax? Is that something that would be palatable? Last year, Steve Carter, a Republican, sponsored this and said he had 64 votes, but he needed 70. Any chance at all that we'll see a gas tax, Dr. Sadow?
Well, no, not this year. I mean, obviously, you need a special session for that if to increase it. And then next year, politically speaking, it's a tough year to raise taxes. Particularly on that, where it's not an immediate operating issue. So not any time in the future. But, you know, I think for there to be, for the public to really accept that idea and for enough legislators to get comfortable with it, there has to be more of a little of comfort with how the money is being spent right now. And, you know, about a year or so ago, I wrote a column in The Advocate where I pointed out how if just the spending choices being made with the money in that transportation trust fund were different, hundreds of millions of dollars a year would be available at the state level for roads. So, you know, until those kinds of issues are dealt with or the public is convinced otherwise, you know, at least for the next couple of years, I don't see anything happening in that direction.
All right. Another listener, Tracy, notes that the increase in spending that Dr. Sadow mentioned is largely related to Louisiana accepting the Medicaid money under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act. Melissa, was this a good move by the governor to accept this money?
I actually think the expansion of Medicaid was exactly the right thing to do. And if we hadn't expanded Medicaid, we really would have jeopardized our entire hospital system. And so, you know, there are a lot of moving parts in this conversation. We've privatized health care. We're subsidizing private hospitals. We're doing that with public funds through the expansion of Medicaid. So there are a lot of moving parts on this. So I think expansion of Medicaid really has benefited Our Lady of the Lake and Willis-Knighton and all the hospitals around the state, as well as our rural hospitals. I think it was the right thing to do.
877-217-5757. Pat in Mid-City, you're on with Doctors Flournoy and Sadow. Hi, Pat.
Hey, thank you for having me. The crux of the matter, from my vantage point, is that Bobby Jindal is responsible for the situation that we're in now. And then John Bel Edwards is doing everything that he can to try to dig us out of this mess. It seems that the Republicans never want to compromise. All they want to do, in my opinion, is what they think is win. Winning means being reelected, doing nothing. They talk about tax cuts. We need taxes in order for our government to work. Taxes pay for the roads. Taxes pay for the seniors. taxes pay for everything. This nonsense about continuously cutting taxes and strangling the government is just ridiculous. And they won't compromise with John Bel Edwards at all.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Your response, Dr. Sadow.
Again, it cuts both ways. Again, we can go back and look at where spending has come in the last couple of years. If in that first fiscal year budget that he really had control of, fiscal year 17, if spending had occurred at the rate of inflation, there would be no fiscal cliff. Spending has gone up again twice the rate of inflation over the last 2 years of state funds in Louisiana. So in that sense, it's not a revenue problem. The revenues have been there. It's just spending has continued to go up.
Was Medicaid expansion a good thing?
No. We could spend a long time talking about this, but essentially one of the things that a lot of people don't realize is that it raised taxes $230 million by expansion kicking in, because by doing so, it automatically made an increase in insurance premium taxes, as well as a tax that most, but not all, hospitals pay. And that gets passed on to the consumer. So, you know, that right there is something that, you know, it didn't quite blow a hole in the budget, but it did raise taxes to that extent, and that is part of the that's part of the reason why spending has gone up.
Now, you earlier alluded to the fact that next year is an election year. Governor Edwards is running for re-election. He certainly will have at least one Republican opponent, prominent Republican, probably Senator Kennedy, possibly Congressman Abraham. Do you think he's vulnerable, Jeff Sadow?
Yeah, he's got no better than a 50-50 shot at this point, at best, to get re-elected if he continues on the course he's going now. Now, if he, you know, basically what he's going to be judged on is how the fiscal matters in the state are being run. And if he can do one of two things, either solve it to a certain extent without raising taxes too much, that gives him a chance to win. The other is if he buffaloes Republicans into accepting much larger tax increases and then spreads the blame around, then that's also another avenue. And that's what he's trying to do right now.
All right. Melissa Flournoy, the governor, is of course, looking at the next election. How does he fare right now?
Well, I actually think that the governor has done as good a job as humanly possible in this political climate, and I actually think John Bel Edwards gets elected next year. I think he's really demonstrated leadership in a time of crisis. I think he's built relationships with legislators and business leaders around the state. And I think you'll have a tough fight, but I predict that John Bel Edwards gets reelected next year.
Dan downtown. Hi, Dan. You're on the air with Melissa Flournoy and Jeff Sadow.
Yeah, Mr. Sadow, isn't Governor Brownback's failed experiment in Kansas indicative that trying to maintain state government without sufficient funding paid by those who exploit the state's resources just can't work?
What about Sam Brownback in Kansas? Is he an example of the way to do things or the way not to do things from the chief executive point?
Halfway of doing things. The idea in Kansas was that you would have tax cuts, which would stimulate the economy to a certain extent. It wouldn't replace all the revenue. It kind of depends on where you are on the Laffer curve, so to speak. But the other thing was to cut spending, and they didn't do that. In fact, they increased spending in Kansas in this period, and so that's why the deficits appeared. And to some extent, you're seeing the same thing here in Louisiana. I mean, although the tax cuts that occurred, we're talking about, were way back in 2008, you know, there's some carry-through still.
877-217-5757 is your number. We'll return with more from Professor Sadow and Dr. Flournoy after this time out on the Louisiana Radio Network. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for listening to Talk Louisiana on WRKF. Your number is 877-217-5757. You can email us talk@talklouisiana.org. Dr. Jeff Sadow, LSU political scientist in Shreveport, and Melissa Flournoy, former state lawmaker from Shreveport, is with us. 877-217-5757. Miguel in Denham Springs. Hi, Miguel. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. How you doing?
Fine.
Right, I'm calling to say that we're no doubt in the mess that we're in because of gender. And, yes, I don't care if it's been a year, 2 years, 3 years since it's been gone. It's still the same problem because that was caused by him. Now, that was in policy in that whatever Obama may have wanted, the Republican Party here to be reelected, to be liked, they went against. No matter what it was, it didn't matter if it was in Louisiana's residents' best interest or not. And we are still dealing with the same issue with Governor Edwards. He's a Democrat. We're going to go against anything that you want to do. We don't care if it's in the best interest of Louisiana or not.
All right. Thank you, Miguel. Appreciate your comments. Marie writes, more people with health insurance means hospitals don't have to pass uninsured costs to private pay patients. Melissa, do you think there's some validity to this?
Well, yeah, that's why I think Medicaid expansion was the right thing to do, because we had, now that we privatized health care in Louisiana, you had hospitals like Our Lady of the Lake and Willis-Knighton and Shreveport and Children's in New Orleans and others that were had so much uncompensated care, it was really damaging the financial viability of those hospitals. So expanding Medicaid reduced uncompensated care, expanded access to health care, was the right thing to do. And it's the only thing that has kept this hospital privatization model started by Jindal to make it at all financially, you know, viable.
Marissa on Essen. Hi, Marissa. You're on with Dr. Sadow and Flournoy. Hi, Marissa.
Oh, the name is Martha.
Okay. I am sorry.
Okay. About the sales tax extension, it just really makes me furious. I feel like we were lied to when this thing was enacted for a two-year period. And I just really feel put out by this. I think it ought to end like it was intentionally set out to do. I've been putting off, you know, buying a new car. And I mean, recently I've had to, you know, buy some washing machine and a dryer. My central air unit is going to need replacing very soon. And that extra 1% sales tax cuts into the budget quite a bit. And I just really feel like we've been duped.
Professor Sadow, I know you have a different opinion. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, see, the whole idea for that was that it would serve as a bridge to now where significant reforms would be made in the tax structure where you were in some way be able to dispense with it, the sales tax. But, again, the two sides here had different visions. Republicans have wanted there to be a combination also of spending cuts, and the governor hasn't gone along with that. He simply wants to use tax reform rather than try to stimulate the economy is there to grow government. And so he wants, to raise preferably on income taxes and some other areas, and that's where the disagreement is. So it may be that falling back to a temporary sales tax, maintenance of at least some of the increase, it may be the only compromise they can come to in the next couple of weeks.
All right. On the national level, there always seems to be a Louisiana angle, and the latest story from the New York Times that's now been repeated by other entities, this one from the Associated Press, President Trump's personal attorney, Michael Cohen, says Cohen, paid $130,000 from his own pocket to a pornography actress from Baton Rouge who allegedly had a sexual relationship with then private citizen Donald Trump in 2006 while he was married to his current wife, Melania. Cohen says in a statement to the New York Times he was not reimbursed by the Trump Organization or the Trump campaign for the payments to Stormy Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, graduate of Scotlandville Magnet, class of 1997. Your thoughts, Melissa Flournoy, about this? Is this a bombshell, or is this just another day in the life of President Trump?
You know, I just don't even want to talk about it, Jim. I just think it's just, you know, let's talk about the domestic violence in the White House. Let's talk about prostitutes. Let's talk about, you know, President Trump's lack of character. I mean, You know, I'm tired of all that. I mean, I really do wish we could focus on making Louisiana a better state and making our country a better state. And this, every day we learn something terrible, either about the president or the people around him. It is just incredibly frustrating.
Dr. Sadow, there are those who support the Trump agenda, but certainly have cause or pause about his personal habits. Is this a bombshell, or is this just another story?
You look at Trump, his entire history before and after, prior to and during the campaign, and these kinds of things, would come up here and there. And I think people have basically kind of resigned themselves to, well, it's another day in the life of Trump here. And, you do bring up an interesting point about how his personal life may be off-putting to a number of people. But the thing is, he's certainly delivered on the policy front for, in terms of what we might call social issues, pro-life, family-friendly, things like that. And so if you're a social conservative, you just kind of hold your nose about Trump the individual, but you look at what he's doing, and he's making tremendous progress. And
all right, David in Atlanta. Hello, David. You're on with Professor Sadow and Dr. Flournoy. Hi, David.
Good morning to everyone. If any of the Republican Louisiana delegation in Washington, I know at least two are likely to run for governor of Louisiana, and if as they voted for this Trump fiscal policy, which will give this economy the deficit will be more than 5% of gross domestic product, which should never happen when times are good. Today, some atrocious inflation figures came out, and retail sales were flat. So we're looking at a Trump stagflation economy with high interest rates and less growth, and that's what they voted for, and they would probably do the same to mess up Louisiana's fiscal policy, which is already in ruins.
All right. Thank you, David. I want to get to a few comments online from listeners to provide to Professor Sadow and Dr. Flournoy. Scott writes, the budget problems originated when the Republican-controlled legislature rolled back the Stelly tax structure. Restore it and the budget would be balanced. Well, Melissa Flournoy, one of those who voted to undo Stelly, is the current governor of Louisiana, John Bel Edwards. He was right there in 2008 voting to get rid of the Stelly plan. So his fingerprints are on this, too.
Yeah, and I think that's probably a vote he regrets. I think it's a vote the Jindal administration ended up regretting. That was actually started by Buddy Shaw from Shreveport in the Senate and years ago. And I actually think that if we could all just stop and take a breath and go back and look at the Stelly plan objectively, that we would reinstate many of the provisions of the Stelly plan. I agree with the previous caller about the sales taxes. That's not a sustainable model for the future viability of the state. And I am concerned about, our real lack of willingness to think long term. I mean, Louisiana has been in a fiscal crisis for 30 years and is likely to stay in a fiscal crisis unless we're willing to make harder decisions and really think about more than just the election cycle. And so that's what frustrates me the most, Jim.
Dr. Sadow, do you have a response?
No, let's move on.
Okay, well, the session starts Monday, and both of you seem to be of the mind that much may not get accomplished, but... are we going to end up renewing the penny tax? The governor says he won't do it. Melissa, do you think that the governor may ultimately have to do this to avoid $1 billion in cuts?
Well, I personally think that we're probably not going to get anything out of this special session. We'll go into the regular session, then we'll have a special session at the end of the year, at the end of the regular session, to try and patch it all together. I just don't think that there's a consensus on a way forward yet, and I think that's what's very frustrating for a lot of elected officials and folks that are looking at the budget.
Dr. Sano?
Yeah, if the governor would decouple the idea that tax reform equals tax increases, then maybe progress can be made. in terms of some structural reforms that are part of that agenda. But until that attitude changes, that's just not going to happen. And so he's going to be forced eventually to take what the Republicans offer him, because there's no way he'll be reelected if he's known as a governor who's intransigence in accepting whatever that offer might be.
Okay, we do have to roll. But thanks again, Dr. Sadow and Dr. Flournoy. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back tomorrow. Stay tuned.
For a podcast of today's show, go to WRKF.org or find the Talk Louisiana podcast on the WRKF app. We welcome your feedback and topic suggestions. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Talk Louisiana is a production of WRKF in Baton Rouge.